starting in Luke chapter 5. I'm going to read most all of chapter 5 today. But remember, a lot of this is for background, and you're going to see why. One of the important points we need to make today about the pattern of God, and this is the second in the series of teachings we're doing about the pattern of God. You may wonder why I've chosen this one. I believe it's of the Lord. One of the importance of understanding how the pattern of God works is about context. Too many people will focus just upon like a parable of itself and take it as a teaching of itself. You'll see chapters where Jesus used two and three parables together, and each one of them had arrived at a different point, but they all had a single thread in common, and that single thread is overlooked so many times. And you're not, when you take a parable all by itself out of the middle of a chapter, you're not getting the context in which Jesus told you. And you're going to see how this is important. So instead of just taking a set of scriptures out of the middle of a context and trying to understand them in a context all of their own, you need to read them in the context of what the book is that you're reading and what the chapter of that book is you're reading and what themes are being talked about. Now, this is at the beginning of Jesus' ministry. Jesus, in chapter 4, had just come out of the desert. Now, all of this understanding is pertinent. Jesus had just come out of the desert in chapter 4. All right? And then he went to Capernaum. And then he drove out an evil spirit and he healed many. And he was basically rejected at Capernaum. Now, there's a reason for that. There's a reason for that, and I don't want to get all into that right now. But Jesus was rejected first at Nazareth. When he came out of the desert, it tells us in verse 14 of chapter 4, Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through the whole country. And he taught in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. He went through his temptation in the wilderness, and this is what began his ministry. And the first place he went was Nazareth. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and upon the Sabbath, as was his custom, he stood up to read. The scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. And unrolling it, he read the place that was about himself, right? And when he said today, in verse 21, that this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing, all spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came out of his lips. Isn't this Joseph's son? They asked. And Jesus said to them, surely you'll quote this proverb to me, physician, heal yourself. Do hear what we've heard that you did in Capernaum. I tell you the truth, he continued, no prophet is except in his own town. And he talked about Elijah, Naaman the Syrian, and how they weren't of Israel, but yet they were the ones, the widow of Zarephath, in the name of the Syrian. And how that they weren't of Israel, but healing came to them first when it came to nobody else. And all the people in the synagogue were furious when they heard this, and they drove him out of the town. And they took him to the brow of the hill which was on which the town was built, in order to throw him down the cliff, but he walked right through the crowd and went on his way. And then he went down to Capernaum, a town in Galilee, and he began to teach the people on that Sabbath, the next Sabbath. And at daybreak, at the end of this, before we get into chapter 5, Jesus went out to a solitary place, and the people were looking for him. And when they came to where he was, they kept keeping from leaving, but he said, I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns also, because this is why I was sent. And he kept on preaching in the synagogues of Judea. Now, he's following exactly the pattern that God had set him on. And notice that there is a pattern. He started at home. He started in Galilee. You know, that's exactly where his ministry started before that. You know that? I mean, personally. With his family. You know, and his brothers and sisters rejected him. A prophet is not, you know, and now I want you to see this because this is important. It's really pertinent to what we're fixing to talk about. Can you see that Jesus being rejected by his own brothers, his own family, is relative to him being rejected next at Nazareth? And then relative to him being rejected next in Jerusalem? And then relative to him being rejected next by all of Israel? Can you see how one thing in this pattern kept repeating? It was prophecy, exactly. Ooh. And this gets heavy. Now, let me ask you, how many of you in your own lives have seen this exact same pattern repeat? That first you're rejected by your family and your loved ones for Christ's sake. When you find the wonderful good news at work in your life, and you go to share it with those who are closest to you because you found this great treasure, and then you're shocked to find that they reject you. For some people, like in my family, it's driven a wedge between me and all of my brothers and sisters. Now, I'm the weird one. I'm the odd man out. I'm the only one in my family that's a Christian. I'm the weird guy. And even though they, you know, some of them will be friendly to me, they will never treat me like they treat each other. Even though some of them aren't even religious anymore, they're not Jehovah's Witnesses or anything anymore like a lot of my family are. But they treat me with suspicion. And they treat me with, yeah, well, that's Steve, you know. Almost like the black sheep of the family. Now, and I've seen that this pattern has come true in other ways in my life with my other brothers and sisters of the faith. I'm treated in the same way. Some of them with hatred and distrust, others with suspicion and the plastic smiles and handshakes. I've seen the pattern repeat. How many of you have seen that pattern repeat in your own life? In the things that the Lord has called you to. You know, people are busy in their lives looking for meaning. A lot of people are. A lot of people looking in the wrong places. But purpose and meaning is an alien and a stranger to most people. They see no purpose in their lives, and they see no meaning. Many of them aren't even looking for purpose and meaning. Can you see, though, that in Jesus' life, from the beginning, in the physical things that happened to him from the time he was a babe to all the way through his adulthood, that there was purpose and meaning in everything? And it was all prophetic of what he would be. It was all prophetic of what he would be. Is this true? And the purpose and meaning in Jesus' life as a man has great has great prophecy and prophetic implications for his body, the church. The pattern repeats itself. All right, I want you to see a comparison. You are familiar all around you, and you don't realize it, with repeating patterns. The seasons repeat. It starts off spring, goes through autumn and winter, and then summer, and you're back to and then you're back to winter. I mean, you know what I mean. Spring, summer, autumn, winter, and back to spring again. a year starts and a year ends. You start off with January and you end back up January again. The pattern every day of your life repeats. You wake up in the morning and you go to bed at night. You eat breakfast today and you'll eat breakfast tomorrow. The pattern is always repetitive. Solomon talked about this, didn't he? It's wearisome. Everything has a cycle. Everything has a cycle. Everything under the sun, as Solomon would say. And under the sun means in creation, in this earth. Have you noticed that too? Let's make a parallel. Have you noticed too that in the teachings of the scripture, you'll start off with the basics and you'll go to as far as you can go and then you'll start over. There's a pattern there too, isn't there? As new people come in this room and as people leave, and as some people go on to other things and as new people come along, the pattern is repetitive in this room too concerning the teaching, isn't it? There's patterns all around you. But what is it you don't notice? You don't really notice what's going on while this circle is going on. In the meantime, there are changes. And they're subtle. They're subtle, aren't they, the changes? I mean, you got up and when you were a kid and ate breakfast and then ate dinner and got used to the pattern and the discipline of the pattern, and you're still doing it. But notice what has happened suddenly. You're no longer a child anymore. Now you're an adult. You've been growing through the whole thing. And guess what? As you grow, the pattern expands. How is it that you do not see an expansion in understanding about patterns? Do you see that Jesus, this is what Jesus was telling them? You know, when you see a cloud in the distance, you know rain is coming. And you're right. When the southern wind begins to blow, you know tomorrow will be hot. And you're right. So if you can discern those things, how is it you cannot discern the signs of the times? You see this? Jesus was telling you about the pattern, wasn't he? And that the pattern must expand. If the pattern just remains this worrisome physical thing, then you're not growing. We have said before that the understanding of the spiritual things is predicated upon the physical things. In the first part of this teaching, we learned that the physical things testify to the spiritual things. That the physical things come first and then the spiritual things. Right? And we've seen, it's just as Jesus told Nicodemus, if I tell you earthly things and you don't believe, how then can I tell you heavenly things? And what did Jesus do there? The same thing he did with that idea of if you can discern the weather, how is it you cannot discern the signs of the times? If you can discern the signs in the sky, and that's what a cloud is, and that's what the wind is, they're signs in the sky, in the atmosphere. And if you can discern what's going to happen tomorrow by the signs in the sky, how is it that you cannot discern the time you're living in through the signs that are around you? Signs in the heavenlies, for example. Shifting winds. It's all about meaning and discernment. Well, in the same way, when Jesus told Nicodemus, if I tell you earthly things and you don't believe, how can I tell you heavenly things? He set a precedent there. If you don't understand how the physical things work in this pattern, then how well will you ever understand the spiritual things, the heavenly things? I mean, Nicodemus, you know that a baby is born, he's planted in the womb, and at a certain time he breaks the matrix, and he's born into this world. You know that, Nicodemus. You know that then the child, fully formed, then begins to grow. You know this. How is it that you do not understand what I mean by being born again? Through faith, we're all planted into the womb of the Spirit, aren't we? And we must be born of the Spirit. And that's the resurrection of the dead. There must be a change. The womb isn't a permanent home. Now, if nature teaches you this, that you must come out of darkness and into the light, you must come out of the womb and become fully formed. If the very nature of things teaches you this physically, can you see how the spiritual understanding of what born again is there in the pattern? Do you see it? Do you see what he's telling? Now, is there any difference in what he told Nicodemus there concerning this pattern and how through the pattern you should be able to understand this spiritual thing? And he said to Nicodemus, you're a teacher of Israel and you don't know this? Do you see it? There is no difference in what he told them that you can discern the signs in the clouds, but you can't discern the signs of the times. There's no difference in that principle than what he told Nicodemus. There was an expectancy. You should be able to see this. Why? Why should they? It brings us back to Romans 1, doesn't it? What we talked about in the first part of this teaching. Brings us right back there. The truth of God. The wrath of God has come against men who hold that truth in unrighteousness, because what may be known about God has been made plain to them through the things that are made, so that men are without excuse. Because the truth of God, even to his invisible qualities and his eternal Godhead and divine power, can be seen in the things that are made. The physical testifies to the spiritual. The things that are seen testify to what cannot be seen. These patterns are not just to be wearisome. They're meant to teach you. And guess what? It will be repeated over and over until you get it. There's a beginning and an end to every lesson. But there is no beginning to end to life. Now, I said something there that is more than just a little bit dynamic. Life-changing. To every lesson, there's a beginning and an end. But to life, there is no end. So what is the physical? Is it the lesson, or is it life? What is the physical? Is it the lesson that teaches you about life, or is it life itself? Is Adam the true man? Or is Christ the true man? Is Adam the lesson and Christ the reality? Yes. Absolutely. Is the man that God always intended Adam? Or is it Christ? No, Adam had a beginning and an end. From dust you came, to dust you shall return. Get it? The circle. From dust you came, to dust you shall return. The physical is here to testify to the spiritual. And when the spiritual arrives, the physical is done away with. Until then, the lesson is repeated in a circle with a beginning and an end over and over and over again. Generation after generation. Season after season. Until creation itself has run its course. Now, I want you to see something that this should be teaching you. If your day starts in the physical, you wake up and have breakfast, and your day ends in the physical, you eat your dinner, and then you lay down to sleep, and this pattern repeats itself every day, what's it trying to tell you? It's not hard. What is it spiritually trying to tell you in this lesson? Because that's what it is, as a lesson. It tells you that everything that has a beginning has an end. It tells you that everything that can be seen must end. It tells you that you will die. That's what it tells you. As far as the physical is concerned, you will die because everything under the sun does. Everything under the sun that had a beginning has an end. Everything that is physical can and will be destroyed. And every day, this lesson is in front of your face. Every day you wake up and start anew, and His mercies are renewed, and the day is renewed, and the morning is renewed. And every day it goes dark. And every day you're tired at the end of it. And every day you lay down to sleep when it's over. Does that not pattern not teach you that this is the nature of things in the physical? That all things have a beginning and all things have an end. And it's definite. It's defined. Daily it's in your face. The very fact that you must die. Well, these patterns of creation tell you about the nature of creation. Spring is like morning. Spring is like morning. Everything's renewed. And winter is like evening. Everything dies. Well, if that pattern is repeated in this creation, what does it tell you is going to happen to this creation? I want you to see two sets of things here. And this is the divine truth from God of how nature has lifted up her voice in the streets, proclaiming the wisdom of God, and nobody sees or hears. Because they don't see the pattern of God. So, if your life, individually, you as an individual, you wake up in the morning and your life is renewed, and at night you're tired and you go to sleep, then it is a prophecy to you that you had a beginning and so you have an end. That you had your youth and you'll have your old age. Right? It's a prophecy to you as an individual that not only did you have a starting point, but you also have an ending point. Isn't this what every day of this pattern teaches you? And it's a fact. As the lesson of the day goes by, so does the reality of your life. Now compare that to what I said. There's the lesson and life. If we were to break that down on the smaller components, we could say that every day, the beginning in the morning and the ending in the evening, you know, where you get up in the morning and you lay down in the evening, death. Every day is a prophecy of how your life is going to play out overall. Because at the end of however many years it is, you will lay down and die, won't you? All men always have, all men always will. Until this pattern is done away with. Right? So you could say as an individual, every day is a prophecy of how your life is going to play out. Right? True or not true? True or not true? Every day is a prophecy of how your overall life is going to go out. So we can say the day is the lesson, and we can say that the day is the lesson, and we can say that your the amount of the number of your individual days is life. Right? Every single day is a lesson, but all those days put together are your life. Right? Well, how about the world? Every year that goes by that the world goes around the sun is a day for the world. It starts with spring when we start getting closer to the sun, and the further away we get away from the sun, it goes to winter. There's a beginning and ending every day for this earth in that way, and it's revolving around the sun, right? For things done under the sun. What does this prophesy to the world? World, if you have a spring, if you have a morning in your life, repeated over and over, and you have that evening in your life, repeated over and over, between spring and winter, then it is a prophecy that the world had a beginning and the world has an end. That the world has a birth and the world has a death. Just as you as an individual have a day, every day, to tell you that the number of your days are numbered. So the number of times this world goes around the sun are also numbered. The repetitive starting and ending of the cycle of the seasons are a prophecy that the earth not only had a beginning, but it will have an end. And so it is with everything that's seen. This is the pattern of God. Can you see it? How many of you can really start to see this? This should tell you volumes about what God has planned for you as far as meaning and purpose. What is it that happens during your days? Where do your days start and end? What are they telling you about your overall life? It's always there. And there's no way around it. You can see now that where Jesus went, and we're going to talk about here in a minute, well, we probably won't get off to all this today. The background took up a lot of time. But you'll see that from Jesus, the people that he healed, and the people that he touched, and the nature of their diseases, all fell within a pattern. But you see, that was the lesson, not the life itself. Let me say something to end this teaching here today. I want you to see how you can apply this pattern. It is the pattern of God to help you see clearly what's going on, because the physical things testify to the spiritual things. The people that Jesus healed, they all had a meaning, and we've talked about that before, right? And they also had a pattern. They were part of the pattern. Now, the people that Jesus healed physically, the leprous, those unclean in sin, remember, let's go over that real quickly so you can fit it into this context. The leprous, those unclean in sin, Jesus came to heal lepers, and we were all lepers. The lame, those who could not walk with God. It had meaning. It wasn't just about physically healing a lame guy. There was meaning and purpose in it. Jesus came to help us who could not walk with God. Jesus came to restore us, the blind, those who could not see. Jesus came to restore our sight. You see that? The blind, the deaf, the leprous, the lame, the demoniac, those in prison to the devil, in captivity. He came to set them free. The paralytic, those who are powerless to help themselves. Those who are powerless to help themselves. And that was all of us. See, each in different ways, this applies to every one of us, doesn't it? That's the lesson. Jesus healing those people, that's only the lesson. But it points to a greater healing of life. Right? It points to a greater healing of life. So you've got to learn the difference between the lesson and life. Between trying to live in the lesson versus finding your life in life itself. Versus living in the physical and according to the physical and according to the eternal. You've got to find the difference between these two things in every part of your life. You've got to see how the physical is here to testify to the spiritual. Not for you to live in. Because you're being formed eternally. There's a difference between the lesson and the life. Because the things of the lesson pass away. They have a beginning and an end. And life has no end. And by discerning the things that Jesus did that were lessons, we can see how it points to our life in Him. This is an essential part of your understanding for the pattern of God. Because it is the next step in understanding how the physical testifies to the spiritual and how it has done it since the beginning of creation.
how creation is the wisdom of God, lifting its voice in the streets that no one can hear. Read Proverbs 8. That men ignore, and they ignore it at their peril. It's a good place to stop.